Well, hello there, and welcome to my almost midlife crisis. I'm your host, Jennifer Mathis. This podcast is about that time in your life when you know you're getting older, but you still feel young. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about transparency and the role it plays in the lives of us millennials. So if you've ever considered yourself an open book, or you appreciate that quality in others, then this one's for you. So I've always considered myself one of those people that's like an open book. I mean, I don't really have a lot of qualms about sharing personal details to really anyone. And I will say that I know plenty of people that that's not necessarily the case, including Christian, who always thinks that I overshare. But, you know, maybe that's why I'm comfortable having this podcast. I've always thought, you know, I'm open to sharing because I've never really been particularly interested in portraying myself as perfect. Like, I'm human. I have flaws. I try to do my best. And sometimes and often I fail. But I know that not everyone is as comfortable sharing as me. And as I get older, I start noticing that my friends and I talk about things that I would say that my parents wouldn't have thought was appropriate. So I decided to look into this a little bit, and it turns out that I am not wrong. Millennials do value transparency more than our older cohorts in a variety of places. That's from finances to the workplace and even the brands and products we purchase. So today we're going to dive into those three areas a little bit more. The Wall Street Journal reports that 61% of millennials are comfortable discussing credit card debt with their friends, compared to just 43% of baby boomers. And 50% of millennials believe it's important to talk openly about finances, compared to boomers who were only at 41%. And I definitely find this to be true because I remember my parents teaching me that, you know, oh, it's rude to talk about your finances, which I could see that. You never, it's not appropriate for you to discuss how much somebody makes, like for their salary. And for the most part, I think I agree with this some of the time. Like, you shouldn't share specifics. No one wants to know exactly. I mean, maybe people want to know exactly how much you make, but that does seem kind of rude. So, like, for example, I've had people stop me on the street when I'm walking my gorgeous French bulldog, Ginza, and literally just ask me, hey, how much you pay for her? I find that an incredibly rude fucking question. Like, I have always found it rude. And so therefore, my answer is probably just as rude because I usually answer with enough. Like, I paid enough. Like, none of your damn business. Keep a walk-in. Okay. But really, maybe they want a Frenchie. Like, maybe they're in the market for one and they're genuinely curious so they could start planning for it. I mean, how am I to know? But in general, I would say that I'm more willing to talk about finances like in the broader sense and not in exact figures. Like, okay, here's another example. My friends and I, you know, we'll talk about our financial packages when we start a new job. Like, what did you get? Did you get profit sharing? Did you get shares of the company? Do you get a bonus? Like, we'll talk about paying off credit card debt or like redoing our budgets to account for something, right? We'll celebrate raises and maybe even share like, oh my God, I got a 25% raise. Like, that's awesome, right? But we don't really get into like super specifics. Like, I may open an investment account and maybe be telling my friend like, oh, I just opened this investment account that's paying out well. Like, maybe you should check it out. But I'm not going to talk about exactly how much I put into it. Or I can share that, oh, I'm paying off some credit card debt. Although I'm proud to say that I don't have any credit card debt. Been there, done that, lived through that. And I don't envy anyone that is trying to deal with that because that sucks. But you know, I might share like, oh, I'm paying this off, but I'm not really going to say exactly how much is on the card that I'm trying to pay off, right? And maybe that's because I'm an elder millennial. Like, I'm comfortable talking about finances, but that's like my foot in the elder millennial world. But then I kind of have like foot in my parents' world where I still kind of have that mentality where it's rude to talk about finances. I think the idea it's rude really stems from this like motivation of sharing, right? It's about why you're sharing it that makes it rude. Like, it's still rude if you're sharing financial information to brag or to make others feel less than. But if you're sharing it to maybe get advice from a friend, like, oh my God, I have, you know, this massive credit card debt and I'm not sure, like, what do you think that I could do? Maybe you're trying to get some advice from a friend, or maybe you're trying to give advice. Like, well, I went through that and I was able to do it this way. Or maybe you're doing it just to compare for your own reference. Like, I'm getting these stock options at work. Is that like a good amount compared to what someone else is getting? Maybe it helps your decision-making process. Like, these are fine. I think that if you're sharing financial information because of a genuine, you know, interest or trying to understand by talking it through with others, I think that's totally fair. I mean, what's wrong with that? But on the flip side, you know, maybe our parents were thinking more of like country club type guy with like his sweater tied around his shoulders. Like, he's probably named Trip. Like, we've all met a Trip. If you haven't, you're lucky. And talking about, you know, how, oh, this is how much I paid for my yacht. Like, I just got my yacht for what, like, shut the fuck up, right? In reality, when I talk about finances with my friends, it's not that. I'm not bragging about how much I spent on our condo. If anything, I'm sharing, like, I love sharing when I get a good deal. Okay, like, I love sharing that. Like, someone would be like, oh my God, such a cute dress. I'm like, thanks. I literally spent $20 on this dress. And here's where you should go to get really cheap shit that looks cute, right? Like, I love sharing a good deal. In fact, I actually don't like sharing when I know I kind of splurged on something and maybe shouldn't have spent as much. Like, I'm not going to tell you when I like overspent on some like leather coat, right? But a good deal, I'm like, I'm all about it. I'm like, girl, you need to go get yourself a cheap ass cute dress too. Like, leaves you more money to have some rosé, right? I mean, I love sharing deals. I'm probably like the first one to be like, oh my God, like happy hour here, or this is on sale over here. Like, go check it out. Like, oh, Whole Foods is having a sale and whatever. Like, I'm all about the sales. Maybe that's another boomer trait. I don't know. Because my mom is like, my mom taught me about Rakuten, and I'm like, now I'm like, Christian and I like both use it. It's like the 2020 version of like cutting coupons from the Sunday paper. I mean, it's like literally what it is, but it's just really easy because once it's installed on your computer, you don't have to actually do anything and you get a check for cash back after shopping online, which I will say, you know, that's my kind of savings when it takes zero effort and you just get a check with some money. Even if it's just like $50 or something at the end of the quarter, it's still $50 that I didn't spend and I could go buy something I want with it. So I don't know. I Rakuten, I'm all about it. Another area outside of finances that is important for millennials to have transparency is the workplace. So millennials want to understand the why behind the company's decisions. And part of this that I was reading, I thought was interesting, and I 100% can relate to this. Part of this is that they want to find ways to contribute in a meaningful way. So what does transparency in the workplace look like? So first of all, it's honesty. Millennials want the truth, even if it is not what they want to hear, right? Like, it might not be good news, but they just want the truth. It's also conflict. Millennials want companies to address conflict head on. It also comes in the form of transparent feedback, both giving candid feedback to millennials as well as accepting feedback from them, because trust me, millennials will have some feedback. And ultimately, the quickest way to build trust with a millennial in the workplace and probably in life is transparency. So according to a study that was called Millennials in the Workplace, at work, millennials view transparency as confirmation that they have been heard and have the opportunity to make a difference. Like, I mean, I feel like that's kind of awesome. Like, that's a proud, like, I feel like as a millennial, I feel kind of proud about that stat. Like, yes, we want to make a difference. Like, I don't know. I read that and I was like, yes, thank you. Like, that is correct. I could totally get behind it. In my career, I've been at some small companies and I've been at some really big companies. And in my experience, and listen, it's just my experience, so you know, get off my back if you don't agree. But in my experience, the larger the company, the less transparency. I mean, think about it, it makes sense, right? I mean, you know, there's so many layers in a large company, and like maybe the decision wasn't even made in the same country you're currently sitting in. So there's, you know, decisions are made, and then there's this like very public PR statement that was super vague and doesn't really give any real insights as to the rationale behind the decision, doesn't really give the why, right? And when you ask your manager or whoever within that large company, like they don't really know either because they're so far removed from the person that made the decision too, that it's like no one really knows except for like this one smaller group out of thousands. Right? So it makes sense. The transparency is kind of lacking there. But to me, this is really important. Like the why is very important to me. And so, you know, I will say I'm also not naive, and I understand that companies sharing real rationale sometimes behind decisions is not always the right route either. As I grow in my career and as a leader, I try to be like, my goal is to be as transparent as I possibly can, but also when it makes the most sense. Because I have found that employees don't always want the real reason behind the decision. Like they think they do. They think they do. And like logically they do. Especially like the more junior team members, right? They tend to not really take the information as well because they don't have that perspective, right? They don't have that larger perspective. They only know what they know. Right. And so then a lot went into a decision. They start learning about it and they don't fully understand. And then that just like upsets them. So let me give you an example. One example is scope of work and staffing. So in advertising, it's a big thing. Like that's pretty much how we do business. It's we develop a scope of work of, you know, this is the services that you will get for the money that you're paying, usually in the amount of hours or employees. Like you could get, you know, 10 full-time employees. So that means you get 100% of 10 people's time, which equates to X hours. That's usually, there's other ways to charge clients, but that's kind of one of the more common ways, right? Which obviously then has a big impact on staffing. And I've been on both sides of this subject. So I've been the employee that has the no line of sight as to how projects or accounts are staffed or scoped, which is frustrating, right? When you're working late nights and you're cursing your employer that you're like, what the fuck, man? Like they need to hire more people. Like I'm working until 10 o'clock every night. Or when there are open positions and they sit open, like you're frustrated on why they weren't filled quicker. Right? What are they waiting for? Like there's so much talent. Like what are they waiting for? Why the hell can't we fill these? Because I'm picking up the extra slack, right? So you don't have the perspective on how these decisions are actually being made or maybe why the positions remain open. And therefore it just becomes this like really easy place to put blame on the struggles that you may be facing at work. And listen, I'm not saying that some of that blame isn't warranted. Like maybe they aren't making the right decisions. But the fact is that you don't know what decisions are being made and you don't understand kind of the back end of how it works. You just see the front end. Like you just see the front of the restaurant and you're not seeing what's happening in the kitchen. If your food's late, you're like pissed off because you're hungry and now you're hangry and you're like, where the fuck is my food? And like you can't see what's going on in the back. Like maybe the oven broke and you didn't even know it, right? So it's really easy when you don't have the perspective of the back end to get really frustrated at the front end. And it's so much easier to blame staffing or staffing allocations to projects than to really look at the way you do your own work and determine if there's more efficient way of doing things. Like, are you wasting time? Like, yeah, I work till 10 o'clock every night, but I also spend about 45 minutes walking around chatting with like my coworkers every day. So, you know, maybe that could be like one less hour that I work a day. On the flip side, and at the time I was taking a lot of smoke breaks too. So I'm happy to say I've been smoke free for God, almost like 9 years, I think at this point. But at the time I definitely took advantage of smoke breaks. So, you know, if I cut those out maybe a little earlier, also could have went home earlier. But on the flip side, Now I'm the only, I'm actually like the one making those decisions, right? Now I'm in the back of the kitchen and I'm making the food, and it's up to me to get the food out. And so therefore I have more perspective on the business behind these decisions. And there's been times where, you know, I've shared more information behind the decision to some junior team members because I knew it, I always wanted to kind of know what was going on. So I was like, okay, this is my opportunity to share them the information that I know so that they don't feel out of the loop like I did at that age. And let me tell you, it did not go well. Okay. Actually, I will never forget. I actually sat in on this 2-hour meeting with our C-suite where they explained the whole business behind how they made staffing allocations, et cetera. And I found it fascinating because I finally got to go behind the curtain to understand more about this topic that really has impacted me my entire career in some way. So after the session, I was so excited. I was so pumped. And I was like, I'm going to share this information with my team. And I hope not all of it, but like, you know, the parts that I thought were kind of the most important parts to share with them. I'm like, I'm going to share with them because it's going to give them perspective that I wish someone gave me earlier in my career. Well, let me tell you, that blew up in my face. So one of my employees, which I will say no longer works at the company. So, you know, if you look me up on LinkedIn and you see what company I work at, they're no longer there. So it doesn't matter. But they were like, very junior, right? They were less than 2 years in the business. And I was kind of explaining like, okay, so I found this really interesting. Here's, you know, some things that I learned. And he decided that it was appropriate to start giving his critique about it with very little information. Cause like I said, I was, you know, giving them the, what do you call it? The part of the book where it's like the cliff notes. I was giving him the cliff notes, right? Like clearly I was not going to go sit there for like 2 hours and like talk about everything that I had learned. So it was the cliff note version, and he was giving pretty specific critiques, which to be honest, like the critiques really didn't make sense. And it became very clear to me that he didn't want to actually learn about the business side of it. He just was more concerned about himself and not about the company as a whole, because that's the biggest difference between being at that individual contributor level and you like want to know the transparency of it. You want to know the back end, you know, workings of why they make decisions. But the difference is that at that level, you don't give a shit about anything that goes on in the business other than what impacts you specifically, right? You don't care. Why? Because you have no impact in it, really. You are not personally affected by, you know, so many things that happen other than what's on your account and on your desk. And if there's open positions that you are picking up extra work for, like that's what you care about. But as you get older and as you grow in your career, you actually become more responsible for the health of the full business. And therefore, you have to look at it from a different perspective. So it was fair that he was completely looking at it in a self-serving way. And it was fascinating to me because I can actually impact these decisions, right? But he can't. He's less than 2 years in. So what good is understanding the business when you can't actually impact it? Like if millennials want to know transparency because they want to feel like they can contribute, I was giving him transparent information that he can't do anything to contribute on. So that's just frustrating. So that was a really important lesson for me, that transparency in the workplace, it does make sense in a lot of ways, but there are times when it actually has the opposite effect. And it's up to leadership to really walk that line. Like maybe there's not anything that you should share because the person can't do anything about it and they won't understand the perspective. And therefore, like what's the benefit to that person by sharing it to them? Right. So that was definitely like a change in mindset for me because I was like, transparency for all. And it's so important. And I'm going to be that boss that's going to be really transparent. And then I was like, oh, right. I really do have to take into more consideration how they're going to take it and what does that mean for them. The last area to talk about where millennials value transparency is in the products and services we purchase. So according to Forbes, 94% of those surveyed said that they are more likely to be loyal to a brand when it offers complete transparency. So in terms of brands, this can mean a lot of things, right? It can mean transparency in sourcing. Like maybe I want to know where these oysters came from. Like, you know, don't give me, you know what I always actually wondered? I don't know why I've been thinking about this a lot. sometimes it's really strange to me, like what I think about a lot. Why, like I have enough shit going on in my life, trying to like do a book, trying to do this podcast. Shit's crazy at work because ironically we're short staffed right now. So, you know, the last paragraph is the last area is interesting. I'm trying to like final stages of planning a wedding. And yet what I'm thinking about randomly is where oysters are sourced. And why don't we have any New Orleans oysters in Chicago? I mean, when I was in New Orleans for my bachelorette party, I actually bought an oyster painting. The oysters in New Orleans are awesome. Like if you've never been to New Orleans, when you go, if you like oysters at all, I realize there's, you know, it's either like a love it or hate it type of situation. But if you love oysters like I do, have the New Orleans oysters. They're massive. They're delicious. They're salty and briny. And there's like awesome like areas where they'll just shuck them right in front of you and you can have them. They're awesome, right? And that's not that far. Like Chicago too, because obviously we're not getting oysters out in Lake Michigan. Like no one's going out to like North Avenue Beach and getting some oysters. Okay, if you were, I wouldn't eat them personally. But we always have to get them. It's like East Coast or West Coast. And it's always one of those two things. But why not New Orleans? Like they clearly have solid oyster situation. Just, I don't know, but I'm curious about the distribution on that. Because sometimes like the ones we get are so tiny and I like the, anyway, I'm literally, as I'm doing this, I'm looking at my oyster painting. So it is especially top of mind and making me hungry. So maybe it's the sourcing. Maybe you care where your food's coming from. Or maybe it can mean transparency in social causes. Like for example, Chick-fil-A, right? Chick-fil-A CEO. You know, his beliefs and values don't really align with mine. Like he's uber religious and, sorry, I'm like feeling about to sneeze. Maybe not. He's uber religious and he has a history of donating to charities that stand against LGBTQ communities, which, you know, not my thing. We're not aligned there. So it's not that I really eat fast food a lot because honestly, I rarely eat fast food. I can't even remember the last time I had fast food, really. But because of this and, you know, his beliefs and what he kind of participates in, Chick-fil-A, it's really not my first, my second, or even like my third choice. In fact, while it's been a while since I've had fast food, unless you count Portillo's, but I don't really count Portillo's. I feel like because you can sit down restaurant style in it, it's like more fast casual, not really fast food like a McDonald's. But so if we're just talking fast food, it's been a while. And if I had it, it was probably like 3 a.m. But I really can't remember the last time I had Chick-fil-A. Like out of all of them, like McDonald's was probably the last thing I had. I cannot think of Chick-fil-A. And there's a new one 2 blocks from my house. Like I pass it every single day and I still haven't gone to it because of him. I've also have been getting more and more into like female owned brands and brands that have a focus on sustainability. Like that's my new thing, right? So for example, my skincare, I go between Drunk Elephant and Scratch Goods, both female owned and operated. And actually one of my new favorite clothing designers, Kuyana, which is female owned and operated, and brands and products that are extensions of ourselves, right? Like that's what we see them as. We see them as things that represent us and what we stand for. And millennials were really the first. I know Gen Z gets a lot of credit for this, but millennials were actually the first generation to really start putting these two things together and start requiring this. I mean, I remember when I started in advertising, it was like the early 2000s. And it was pretty unheard of to have brands participate in social or political conversations. Like, in fact, back then, people responded to brands getting involved in these conversations in the same way they are today about athletes or celebrities speaking out about social injustices or politics. So my mom, for example, does not like watching award shows now because she doesn't want to hear movie stars give political speeches. And I can't say I totally disagree with her on that one. I mean, I can understand their desire to use a large public forum to get their message across, but sometimes I also just want to see pretty dresses walk down the red carpet and see who won Best Picture. Like sometimes, like, I don't want to go there right now. Like I have to like just explain who you're thankful for, maybe cry a little, blah, 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 move on to the next award. Like, I don't know if I need like a soapbox in this moment. But I understand their perspective as well. Or my uncle, who has completely boycotted the NFL at this point because the whole like kneeling during the anthem thing. And I have to say, this argument around how kneeling during the national anthem is disrespectful is kind of comical to me. I mean, let me get this straight. It's disrespectful to silently protest during a song that stands for our nation being free, which means giving people the right to peacefully protest. I mean, I would say it's actually very respectful way to protest. The disrespectful way would be like painting hashtag BLM on your chest and running around naked across the field screaming during the national anthem. Like that would be disrespectful. But silently kneeling on the sideline, it's not in the middle of a play. It's not like you decided like, hut, hut, hike, I'm going to kneel like right now. It's on the sideline before the game even starts. I mean, I would actually consider that 100% respectful. But either way, I don't really think the NFL gives a shit because my uncle has decided to boycott. Nike also isn't hurting because my uncle won't buy a pair of shoes next time he's in the market, which for him is probably like 5 to 10 years because he's definitely one of those people that like wears those things until the sole is coming off. But at the end of the day, he's also making a decision based on transparency, isn't he? His choices are just different than mine. And I would say that, you know, that's okay. It's still his decision. And of course, I say that as I like click add to cart on a new Bears jersey for the 2021 season. Go Bears. Overall, transparency can be tricky. Being transparent about your finances can make other people uncomfortable sometimes. Transparency at work can be helpful, but also create tension when folks aren't really ready for the truth or don't really know what to do with it. Transparency in the consumerism case can cause you to make different choices. There's pros and cons of transparency, but to me, being uncomfortable is not a bad thing. It's actually good. Transparency that brings a level of discomfort can lead to growth, personal and professional growth. It can also lead to deeper, more meaningful relationships. Not perfect relationships that have zero conflict, but authentic relationships. So get comfortable with transparency, especially when it makes you uncomfortable. Until next time.